Is there any wild card matchup, likely matchup that you have no interest in watching?
So it can be any team in contention,
yeah,
correct?
Pretty much. I mean, it's unlikely Miami's going to get there, but...
Cleveland-Miami. I would rather watch the 7 hours of the Beatles documentary again. And that was tough to finish, let me tell you. I like the Beatles. Holy fuck.
That was amazing.
Make a short...
What are you talking about?
Peter, just shave it off by about 3 hours, bro. Good God.
Who you betting on? Always on black, fat stats in the pocket, whole squad, fast tag. Send the bookie, tell him bring it from the bag. No, we coming for the bag.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the few in attendance and the thousands listening around the world, let's get ready to gamble. My name is Tony Cavallo. As always, I'm joined by Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookston, Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, and we are the West Coast Gamblers, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network and the only gambling show that makes you money. And we are entering week 16 of the NFL season. Congratulations, we've made it. It is Christmas week. And on Christmas week, we will have both a Tuesday show and a Thursday show. Don't you worry. But Christmas week, and the AFC does not have a single team that has clinched a postseason position. The NFC has only one team that has clinched a postseason position. It is pure chaos in the NFL with 3 weeks remaining. And I could not be happier because, of course, my team is the one that has clinched a playoff position. Schaefer the Sharp, I should be worried about you because for all the glitz and glam, for all the time I've gloated on this show about being the leading gambler in the world, you pulled a 10 spot out of your ass in King of the Coast and are now tied with me at the top of the King of the Coast rankings. Dangles, you still have a game coming up tonight. We are recording this in between the week because NFL had to switch the schedule around and move two terrible games to be on Tuesday night. You stupidly bet on one of those terrible games. So it's still unknown where you are, but Schaefer the Sharp, let's start off the show with you, my friend. Congratulations. Tip your cap. Hell of a week by you.
Thank you, Tony Squares. It means a lot. I think that horseshoe actually fell out of your ass, and I picked it up and threw it in the fire and just went about my business. But let me just point out one thing. I appreciate the well wishes on the 10-0. But if you noticed, I had two games, Dallas and also, of course, down to the wire, 4th and 6 for the Giants, inside the 15. Guess what? It went my way. It went my way. We got to win. Same thing with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, Tennessee. Tennessee's driving to potentially win the game. Just a foot short. The reason I'm saying this, I lost a lot of games this year by this margin, and it felt good to be 1 week in a row. I win by this margin. Just shows you it's a fluid market, boys, and these games are insane.
Insane.
But... It was good to be on the winning end of a very, very good weekend for Schaefer the Sharp.
Dangles, you yourself, you're on a winning train as well. Another teaser you've hit. You're the king of the teasers. And the worst part was, though, your best bet was New England +2.5.
It was.
And they couldn't pull it off against Indy. Your team, I mean, Bill Belichick came out and he actually apologized to the media. For the first time I can remember Bill Belichick ever apologizing to the media. He came out and said, "I'm sorry, guys. We were all angry that first time you interviewed us about this game, but every single facet of our team messed up that day. The coaching, the players, everything."
It was a very Belichickian apology, though, in the sense that he was like, "I'm sorry that I was in a bad mood, but I didn't have much to say." So, like, apologizing for it, but still blaming the media for asking questions he didn't have the answer to, which at this point, if you expect anything less out of coach, then you haven't been paying attention closely enough. But look, you're never going to be in a good position anytime you go into the half down 20-0. Jonathan Taylor just ran it down our throats, despite the preparations that we made, despite stacking the box against him, which I think just shows what an incredible back he really is. Because you had to know Belichick's going into that week trying to take Taylor out of the equation and make Indy beat you by passing the football. They did not have to do that. Had a chance down the end there, but unfortunately, you know, Indy was able to turn it around and get that last score and put us away. So did not cash on that, but I did hit on my under in that game by one point, by another very, very slim margin there. So I'll take the victory where I can get it, but it is a bummer that it didn't go our way, and it makes the race for the AFC East crown all that much more interesting and gives it the potential to have to go a few more spots down the tiebreaker chain for NFL divisional rules, depending on how the next 3 weeks play out, including, of course, the very pivotal matchup coming up next week against the Buffalo Bills once again, this time at Gillette Stadium.
Dangles, you said Belichickian. You said Belichickian. I have to interrupt here 1 second, Squares. Did you see Bill Belichick's response when the reporter asked him what happened in the block punt? It is an all-timer, even by Bill Belichick standards. He literally goes, a 10-second video on Twitter, he goes, we didn't block the guy.
We didn't block the guy. I loved it so much. I loved it
and
so much.
And he's not wrong is the best part. Perfectly valid answer to that question.
That's amazing.
Now
we don't block the guy.
We have a big show today. We're going to actually time capsule a bunch of the teams this week. We're going to go through with 3 weeks remaining. Look at the season-long win totals at the beginning of the season. For instance, Jacksonville Jaguars had 6.5 games for their season-long win total. I have to tell you, if you took the over on that, it's not happening this year. But we're going to go through all the bets that we gave out, all the bets you could have taken, see what you can be looking for at the end of the year, and try to figure out where these teams are with 3 weeks to go. But before we get there, there's another bet that I've been itching to make. And I kind of don't want to talk about it because I understand that it should be thrown away as soon as you mention it. And our good friend Austin Huff, who just had his baby girl, congratulations, Austin Huff. You should probably block your ears when I'm going to say this, but Schaefer the Sharp, with all of the quarterbacks having relatively pedestrian years for the greatness that they are, there is no one quarterback that stands out above the fray. Tom Brady was just shut out for the first time since 2006.
God.
Aaron Rodgers obviously had the whole COVID issue. It's tough to call the COVID man and most valuable player for a team that he can barely play for. Is the MVP of the league Jonathan Taylor, and why should I not bet it right now?
Well, you shouldn't have bet it right now because he's not going to win because it's a quarterback's award, and they'll find a way to give it to a quarterback. However, you may not, as far as to provide most value for his team. I mean, Carson Wentz, guys, he had the Mac Jones win game indoors.
Yes.
He really did.
Yes.
And they got a win. They got a win. So Jonathan Taylor has quickly established himself, and we'll get into this later on during the Shave the Sharp rant. But again, who would have in a million years when Saquon Barkley came out with the best prospect in centuries as running back, and who would have even thought 4 years later, Jonathan Taylor is not only a superior running back, he's light years ahead of him.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. It's just incredible. So he has established himself as the premier back in the NFL, of course, minus the train. That's D. Henry, the rhinoceros in the backfield in Nashville. But he's awesome, man. He's an awesome player. I will say he's not very smart because if he breaks that fucking run and goes down, the game is over and I hit my teaser. Just go down, Jonathan, you selfish guy.
But he's running for the MVP. I'm telling you, I understand as a quarterback.
You got to go down there, though. You got to go down there, JT.
Derrick Henry had 2,000 yards last year, breaking records all over the place. He didn't even get a vote for MVP. But look at the guys he was competing with last year. It is not only an award for most valuable player, but it's also most valuable player for that season. The rest of the league is not having a breakout. There is no breakout star when it comes to the MVP race. I really think Jonathan Taylor has a chance here in what is traditionally a storyline award. Dangles, I saw it firsthand. He could not be stopped against the best defense in the NFL that the Patriots had. The best defense in the NFL, and Jonathan Taylor ate you up.
I mean, I guess, you know, the question becomes, like, what does he have to do in order to get it, right? Because last year we had a 2,000-yard rusher in Derrick Henry, who ran all over the NFL, and he didn't get the MVP award. Obviously went to Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, and again, I think you could probably argue which player was more valuable to their team. There's arguments to be made on both sides there, but I think that's ultimately the question you have to ask is, like, and I what I wonder about is, like, what more does he have to do? Like, does he have to, it's a regular season award, so how they do in the playoffs doesn't matter. At what point are we going to say, okay, this can go to a running back and they have outperformed a quarterback? Or is the quarterback position in and of itself just so valuable that that's where the award has to end up?
But Tony, I think I have a solution for you. Forget betting for MVP. Me and Dangles and you in your heart know he's never going to win MVP in a million years. That is a quarterback's award. However, our friends from DraftKings right now, they have listed Offensive Player of the Year. Okay, everyone is above 35-1, with the exception of two guys. Jonathan Taylor, a small favorite, -110, and Cooper Kupp, +120. If you want to split hairs between those guys, who's the Offensive Player of the Year, good luck. But that is where you should invest your lot if you want to cast a award for Jonathan Taylor. It won't be MVP, but he's literally the favorite for Offensive Player of the Year.
Fair. Fair point. And I like that Offensive Player of the Year, Drew. I might take you up on that. But talking about casting your lot, we've cast our lot quite a bit on this show. And it is time to go back for when we cast our lot before a snap was even had. At the beginning of the year, we had a bunch of friends come on and we broke down each division, marry, fuck, killed each division before the season. And each of us here gave out a season-long win total lean on one of the teams here. Only three games remain. I wanted to see where we were on those season-long win totals. So let's go through them one by one. We're going to start off with the AFC. We'll take a break in between, go to Dr. Dangles, because I know Drew won his 10 points of bets. I did not, and I definitely need a trip to the doctor this week. And then we're going to end with the NFC. Don't worry about gravestones. That's coming on the Thursday show, because yours truly needs to kill the football team, and I need to see what happens. on Tuesday night before I do so. But let's start off with the AFC East, Dangles. This one's easy. All three of us gave out the Patriots over 9.5 win total. They sit at 9 wins right now. The Bills sit at 11 wins. They're not going to get there, folks. They could win out. They could push. They're not going to hit it. Miami, 9.5 wins at the beginning of the season. They went 1-7 and could somehow, if they continue to win out, get that over. So if you have the over ticket on 9.5, hold on to it. It ain't dead yet. Pretty dead. And then finally, the New York Football Jets. Their number was 6 at the beginning of the season. I have to say, they're not winning out to get that push. If you took the over on the New York Jets, Robert Saleh's not your guy. Dangles, the New England Patriots, are they going to get their 10th win of the season this weekend against Buffalo? Are we going to be able to cash these overs right here, right now, or do we have to wait till week 17?
You know, this is kind of a hard game to handicap, because the last meeting between these two teams was so much of an anomaly and so strange that I think it's kind of hard to, at this point at least, to kind of think about how this game is going to come out. You know that loss stuck in the Bills' craw at home. The Patriots only passing the ball 3 times, running it down their throat all game long. I mean, look, the Bills, we all know about the Bills' record in Gillette. Obviously, that is under Tom Brady. But I don't know how much has changed in between now and then for me to be sitting here going, you know, I think the Bills really are bringing something different in. It's going to come down to the game plan, I think, in the game scheme. Both of our teams have a pretty easy rest of the schedule out of here. We got after this Bills-Patriots matchup, the Patriots have the Jags and then the Dolphins. And then meanwhile, the Buffalo Bills, after the Patriots matchup, have the Falcons and the Jets. So this matchup is incredibly crucial for both of these teams.
It's the AFC's championship.
It basically is. You're right, because they will probably, both these teams probably win those final two games, unless maybe the Falcons get sneaky. I'll be blown away if the Patriots lose to the Dolphins and the Jaguars either of those games. And then
watch out for those Dolphins. But Dangles,
they're sneaky, but I don't think they beat us. That game is not in Miami, and we're much better at home than we are. This may very well come down, this division, to conference record, because the teams right now are equal in their division record, and they only have one more game after this Bills Patriots game. So this may very well be decided by in conference record when it's all said and done.
You're wrong, Dangles. It is right here, right now. This is the game, because if the Bills win and the Patriots lose, that division record is flipped and vice versa. I'm just saying, this is the AFC's championship. Yes. Schaefer the Sharp, you hate hedging. But on this show, I gave out New England Patriots to win the AFC East at plus 400. Am I dumb to take a Buffalo Bills money line to hedge a little bit of that bet this weekend?
Yes. Move. Next question.
Do you have any fear that the New England Patriots aren't going to win this division and win this weekend? Do you think the Bills stand a chance here?
I mean, absolutely. The line right now, guys, is 2.5. I can tell you my snap lean when I saw the line was, I do lean the Patriots just because the fact they were able to win by not really having a part of their offense, which we saw in the second half of the Colts game, Mac Jones can throw the ball a little bit. I was very nervous holding the Roy tickets that we have. I was like, man, is this going to be the Mac Jones stinker similar to the Tom Brady stinker that's going to put a big dent in his MVP chances? Another ticket, Shave the Sharp ass. Thank you very much. And he answered the bell in the second half. But I think it's a great game. But yeah, of course, the Bills, you know, anytime you got Josh Allen and you got that defense that obviously handled the Patriots to the extent they did, granted, they didn't throw the ball. I think it's going to be a great game.
Excellent
game. But don't hedge, Tony. Don't do it.
Oh, man, it's tough. Let's move on to the AFC North, however, because both me and Dangles had the same bet here. Pittsburgh over 8.5. I also gave out Pittsburgh to make the playoffs as my best bet of the year, plus 220. They keep finding ways to stay in games late. They keep finding ways to do it. They are essentially the AFC's version of the Minnesota Vikings. Every single game they play, regardless of competition, it comes down to the wire, and either Big Ben delivers or he does not. Dangles, we need two wins by the Pittsburgh Steelers to hit that bet. Schaefer the Sharp, hate to say this, you've already lost your season long on this. You took the under Cincinnati 6.5. We already talked about how the Rule the Jungle quest for 7 has been completed. The other two teams in this conference, Baltimore Ravens, 11 wins was their number. They'd have to win out to push that, and it ain't going to happen, folks. And then finally, the Cleveland Browns officially are dead. 10.5 was their number at the beginning of the season. 10.5.
Man. In hindsight, that looks pretty aggressive number.
They've clinched the under on that one. I was going to ask, Drew, Baltimore at 11, Cleveland at 10.5. Which one surprises you more? Or does Cincinnati 6.5 surprise you? Because right now they're leading the division at 8-6.
Well, I got to be honest with you, Tony Squares. I will post all my preseason bets on my Twitter when they have been completed. And, you know, obviously we recorded the preseason pods before football started, but the weekend before week one, I actually cast all my lots. And would you believe the only AFC North ticket future I have? Baltimore under 11. So I'm holding that ticket.
Boy.
I'm feeling very good about that ticket. And I'm sure we'll talk about this later, but I'm excited to rank Mr. Huntley in our QB list at the end of the year, man. That guy can play. I was very impressed. And I don't think it's like a flash in the pan type thing. I liked what I saw from him. So I will say I'm most proud of my Ravens minus 11. It does not surprise me because I'm holding it. That Pittsburgh team's just so bizarre. The fact that they're still
so
even
bizarre
in the mix is so weird. It's so weird. And I actually looked at their percentage to make the playoffs before we got on, Tony. It's like 21%, but they're like, aren't they in right now? It's like so weird. They're just
that
a bizarre
tie
team.
Fucks it all up. Baltimore, however, again, 8 wins right now in the season. You have under 11. They have Cincinnati, the Rams, and Pittsburgh remaining. Again, obviously Lamar's injured, but Huntley didn't look like it was that far of a fall to go to Huntley. Dangles, again, we have that Pittsburgh team. We need them to go 2-1. Kansas City, Cleveland, and Baltimore. You tell me they can't beat Cleveland and Baltimore, Dangles?
That's the problem. I don't know if they can beat Cleveland and Baltimore. This is the main issue with this Steelers team is we just, as you said, we don't know what we're going to get. Big Ben's either good. They always play to the buzzer. That's something to be, you know, to be happy about if you're someone who likes to bet on them. But I'm mad, of course, in hindsight that we put our money down on this because this team has been so erratic this year. But God, how mad must you be if you're somebody who took the over on the Browns season long and the thing that sunk it was a COVID game that Nick Mullins had to start? I would have set my ticket on fire already. Like, just absolutely infuriating. It is going to be a tough road, though, to get there. To have to go on the road to Arrowhead, to have 2 out of 3, the last 3, be on the road in 2 tough places to play, Arrowhead being one of them. And then to have the Browns, who, I mean, again, they have a good defense. They could be sneaky if they get their offensive players back. And, you know, Nick Chubb takes over a game. So it's an uphill battle for sure.
Well, my favorite win total is coming up, the one that we still have. It's not me and Dangles again in the AFC South. We both took Indy over 9. I have a lot of confidence that Indy team with 8 wins right now is going to hit that over. Their final 3 opponents are Arizona, Vegas, Raiders, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's go Indy. Jacksonville, as we said at the beginning of the show, 6.5 was their win total. Under tickets, you could already cash that one in. Tennessee, 9 wins was their win total. They have 9 wins on the season. Just need one more win, but can they do it with nobody on their team? How many people need to get injured before Tennessee can't win any more games? Might have already happened. And my favorite one, though, is Drew's favorite one at the top of the year. Houston under 4. Houston has 3 wins right now. 2 of them have come against Jacksonville. They don't have an easy game remaining, but can they pull a Lions win out of their ass, Drew? Houston, 3 wins on the season. You have under 4. How you feeling?
They will not pull a win out of their ass because, as you just said, Tony, 2 of the 3 wins came against the freaking Jacksonville Jaguars, and what would the number 3 one be? I don't know. The Titans when they had Austin Huff and Ryan Hurd line up as slot receivers? No. They haven't beat anybody of substance this all year. So we're good. The Houston Texans will finish with 3 wins.
Speaking of that quarterback list that we will do starting the week after the Super Bowl, Trevor Lawrence, the number one pick from last year's draft. I'm going to do some research on where
Tony, I thought all number one picks were just superstars and world changers and franchise-altering egos.
I'm going to do some research on where we've placed number one quarterbacks the first time they've entered that list. I have a feeling Trevor's going to be near the lowest, and Trevor Lawrence has 9 touchdown passes and 504 throws this year. Davis Mills has 10 touchdown passes and 302 throws this year. It's going to be interesting to see how many people rank above Trevor Lawrence this
year. Well, and I think the question you have to ask yourself is, you know, how much of that is attributable to the tire fire that was the coaching administration there?
Texans are a tire fire, and Davis Mills is producing at a better rate.
But their coaching staff isn't. Those guys want to play for David Culley. They never wanted to play for Urban Meyer. He lost that locker room early on in that season. The Texans want to play for David Culley more than the Jaguars, even if they don't want to play for him. They want to do it more than the Jaguars wanted to play for Urban Meyer. So let's see, because here's what I think happens, and it's not rocket science. The Jaguars, if they're smart, will hire Byron Leftwich to be the next head coach of their team, and he will quarterback whisper Trevor Lawrence into prosperity. It makes perfect sense as a fit for him, especially if Tampa Bay goes and does big things this year. Why do you say that?
I'm curious why you say that too.
I understand Byron Leftwich coming back to Jacksonville. Yeah, rah rah rah, it's going to be great. I have a feeling Shad Khan goes with a guy that he's going to take zero chances on. The absolute easiest
Jim
pick.
Caldwell brings in Byron Leftwich.
Jim Caldwell or Marvin Lewis. I think Marvin Lewis would be the person I'd put money on the most to be the next coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I don't see Byron Leftwich as taking a chance. Not necessarily because I think he will feel comfortable putting his confidence in him because he knows that Byron knows Jacksonville and knows the organization. Even if he hasn't been a head coach before.
I think he goes safest possible option.
And I do think a team like that, I do think they'll be looking for a coach with prior head coaching experience. But I do like the combination of a Caldwell-Leftwich. Dangs, I want to get your opinion on this as a working journalist. Did you hear on the Rich Eisen show that Tuesday that Urban Meyer was fired, he left after a team meeting at 8:30. The coaches did not know where he was. The players did not know where he was. And do you know what he was doing? He was with his legal counsel. He was with his legal counsel trying to refute Josh Lambeau's story and negotiating with the Tampa Bay Times not to publish it at the 4 p.m. deadline. That's insane. Wow. He was actually he was not fired yet. He was on company time. He was supposed to be game planning for the Texans, and he was literally with his legal counsel calling in a reporter saying, hey, I have these guys off, like trying to offer them players to make a statement off the record, the real account.
Faith, family, football.
Faith family, football. Man of the word.
Again, Urban, we'd love to have you on the show. If you ever want to
You were once
on.
A proud member of the Evergreen
We'd love
community.
To have you on the show. Evergreen Umbrella.
I think
share
that bridge
that well.
Has I think that bridge has been burned, destroyed.
Not by
wood
Tony
chipped,
Squares.
Grinded on. Grinded on.
Look at the past. I have
you
a
did.
History
Tony
of being
congratulations. You
Tony's
are,
the company man.
Congratulations. You are a toady suck up. I hope you can sleep with yourself at night.
All right. Dr. Dangle, settle down. We got one more AFC division to do before we move on. And it's the AFC West. Kansas City had the largest number in the NFL at the start of the season. It was 12.5. And Kansas City, with all the trouble that they had early in the season, would need to just win out to hit that over. Kansas City's final three games, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Denver. I mean, they could easily win out and be the one seed here with a 13 win. In fact, that was Dangles' best bet of the AFC West, was that Kansas City over. Denver Broncos over 8.5 was Drew's best bet. I mean, I can't tell you what's going to happen, Drew. Every time Denver takes the field, they're hit or miss whether they're going to play. Oh, they have a very good defense. The offense is really, really bad unless they're handing it off to Javonte Williams. Teddy Bridgewater took a really scary hit, and Drew Locke came in the game, although they say that Teddy Bridgewater is okay. He should be able to play in the future, maybe even the next game. They need to go 2-1 to hit that over, Drew, and I don't know. And my
the only thing I do know is if Drew Lock quarterbacks for that team, they will not hit that over. Thank you very much.
That's going to be it's not happening.
Their last three games, though, the Vegas Raiders, the Los Angeles Chargers, and the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City might be sitting people in that Week 18 game. Who knows? And then finally, my Las Vegas Raider bet, I took the under 7. They are at 7. And honestly, I think I can still push. I don't think the Raiders win another game this season. They somehow almost lost to the Browns and Nick Mullins. I don't think they win another game. I'm ready to push and get my money back on that one. And then finally, the Los Angeles Chargers. This is the one we all should have taken. Their number was 9, 9.5. I think they're going to hit the over. They have 8 wins on the season. We have all have our bets on this. Shay for the sharp. Los Angeles Chargers, they look like a wild card team, maybe even the top wild card team. Their number is 9.5. You think they get to that 10?
Oh, man. They have to go 2-1 the last 3 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and what did we see? What did we see on Thursday night? I saw a team. Well, first of all, they play the Texans next week, so we'll give them that one.
Yep.
Yep. So they basically have games against the Broncos and Raiders. I'll make a prediction here, a big prediction. I'm going to predict yes. They will hit their win total, but I also predict they will be a first-round exit from the playoffs.
Mm.
First-round exit.
Why is that? I do think that team has first-round exit written all over it.
Well, I think Tony will speak on it later. Well, Tony, I think it might have something to do with, you know, you drive down the field of the opening series. You have maybe 4th and 6 inside the 20. You might want to get points on the board. But Mr. Staley, once hailed as this innovative genius by myself, early in the year, loved him. Seems like the analytics aren't really going his way. Do you have anything to say about that, Tony?
I do. I actually got into a couple of Twitter fights on the old Twitter during that game because of how many times Brandon Staley went for it on 4th down and failed to convert. And it's an interesting situation when you go on the Twitter world and it's against this analytics thing, because the analytics people, they're tough. They are dead set on, listen, you dummy, 7 times 0.52, which is 52% of the time you convert on this 4th down, a.k.a. get the 7. 7 times 0.52 is more than 3 times 0.98. That's a field goal percentage, how you get that if you need help figuring that one out.
Yep.
I understand the math. I am not a buffoon. But what the analytics people seem to not understand is sometimes that 0.52 leads to 0. And most of the time, that 0.98 leads to 3. And I'm not saying that every single time you should kick a field goal. No chance in hell. I actually like Brandon Staley's mindset most of the time. I would like you to think outside the box as a head coach and be more aggressive, especially when you have faith in that offensive unit. You have Justin Herbert, all that stuff. I mean, we how many times we see Ryan Tannehill go for it on 4th down successfully against Pittsburgh? Like, sometimes you have the ability in the team to do so, and you do it, and you attack. But there are some times in certain moments of the game, like at the end of the first half, when at worst, if you don't get this touchdown and you kick 3, if you don't get this touchdown, guess what? You don't pin the other team deep on their 1-yard line because the game's over. The half's over. You go to the locker rooms. There's no benefit to your defense if you fail here. Sometimes when it comes to moments in the game, take the goddamn 3 points. I understand the Steve Fezzik's of the world are going to get angry at you and call you a buffoon. 7 times 0.52. Fuck off. 3 points means something in the NFL, especially when it's a chip shot field goal that anyone on this podcast could hit. Blew my mind to bring up the other side of this argument and get lambasted that I am a buffoon who doesn't know anything about football. I think I might be alone on this podcast and thinking that sometimes you might want a field goal, but I'll stand by it till the day I die.
Tony, I think we can even make things more simplified in a sense, especially in the first half. If you have 1st and goal inside the 5 and you can't score in your first 3 plays, why are you so confident you can score in the 4th? I really, if the situation doesn't call for it, honestly, of course, you're down 8. It's in the middle of the 4th quarter. You know, you go for it. But that's my thing.
Baltimore
did the same thing. You have a backup quarterback. Yeah. You're playing the best team in the NFC. And you have the best kicker in the world, and you basically take 3 points off the board to go for it in the first quarter. In the first half. It's just it doesn't make sense to me too. It really doesn't.
I understand the math. The worst part is it's the arguments that people get into online that you're a buffoon if you think they should go. Everyone who thinks they should go for three is an idiot. Go fuck yourself. I understand the math. You have to understand the situation in the game. For instance, I didn't mind that first drive by the Chargers against Kansas City trying to go for it on fourth and goal. Hey, go for it. Try to get seven early. If you fuck up, at least Pat Mahomes is pinned deep. The rest of the game, though, the other 17 times he tried to go for it on fourth down, give me a field goal just once. Just once. Because sometimes three is more than zero. Dangles. Well,
and sometimes that goes the other way, right? We talked about short Belichick answers earlier, but in his press conference, I believe it was on Monday, he was asked about his decision to kick a field goal and trim the deficit from to 3 points as opposed to going for it on a fourth and seven call there. And he ended up taking the points, Tony, to your point. And that was the thing he talked the most about in the whole damn press conference, was explaining exactly what you're talking about, sort of like, and Belichick, I don't think is one to rely too heavily. I think he looks at analytics. I think I heard Nick Saban talking about this too recently in a video clip where he was talking about his use of analytics. And he was like, sometimes I look at them and I agree with what they say. And sometimes I look at them and I see things that make me disagree with what the analytics say and think it makes more sense to go. So again, I think it's not all one or the other. I think it's very easy to be like, the analytics are right every time because it's numbers. And that's how math people are. And you can't have an argument with them. But I completely agree with you. It does have to be a situational decision. And especially if you're a long tenured football coach, you have a feeling for that. You know what that is. Some of these younger guys, maybe they don't feel like they have that sixth sense, if you will, you know what I mean, for the football game, and they have to rely more heavily on these analytics. Plus, analytics are sexy these days, and every team spends hundreds of millions of dollars on, maybe not hundreds of millions, but a lot of fucking money on their analytics department every year.
To me, analytics is a tool in the toolbox, much like the RPO or play action on first down. Analytics is a tool in the toolbox. It is not the Bible to be worshipped, and that's all I want out of you Twitter folks. But that's it for talking to the AFC. Let's move on to Dr. Dangles. As you can tell, I have a lot of pent-up frustration here. It's time to let it out. It's time to go to the doctor, and that's coming up next.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Ready to up your game and learn more about the thrilling world of sports betting? Introducing Double Down with Breslow, the ultimate podcast about the business of sports gambling. Join me, James Breslow, and a long list of expert guests as we dive into the art and science of the sports betting industry. Evolving regulations, technology enhancements, and the meteoric rise in the number of players makes this sector the fastest growing and most intriguing in the world. Unlock the business secrets from many of the industry's most recognizable C-suite executives, including famous odds makers and influencers. Every episode of Double Down with Breslow is packed with insider tips, deeply skilled analysis, and in-depth discussions. Don't miss out on the ultimate resource for mastering the business of sports betting. Listen to Double Down with Breslow on the Evergreen Podcast Network or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Double Down with Breslow, the business of sports betting podcast.
Let's get right to it, boys. The doctor is in. It is time to feel our feelings. It is time to get real. It is time to get raw. It is time once again for Dr. Dangles.
Now, doctor, I do love those glasses. I just wanted to make sure before we start, we're alone on this one, right? It's just me and you for today. I requested that, and I just wanted to make sure that was
yes, all of these conversations are confidential. As always, they are not published or put out in broadcast form. You cannot find them on the Gaming Society YouTube page or by searching West Coast Gamblers on Spotify or by following us on Twitter. None of those places can you find any of the things that are discussed here in these sessions. Totally confidential. I want you to be comfortable.
That's great. I'm very comfortable now that I know that Schaefer the Sharp is not here because my little Dr. Dangles bit has to be about him today. Okay. Well, me and him, relationship that we have together. So, for the past few weeks, I've done pretty well in the gambling world, and I may have been a little ham-fisted with my gloating about how far ahead I was of him. And this week, he did really well, and I did not, and now we're tied. And I'm just a little worried that, you know, I'm just a little worried that the Sharp is now on my heels, and I've said so much in the beginning, and now it's going to be a whole thing if I end up losing to this guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do. And I'm shocked, Tony Squares, because it's so at least based on what I know about you, and I've known you for some time, out of character for you to be ham-handed with your gloating in any capacity whatsoever. So I am surprised in a sense to hear that. But hey, I mean, you know, if you don't gloat, you can just kind of be silent. I when you win, I often find that the silence is much more digging and hurts more
when you know
you're right. But what if you don't win?
You know what I'm saying? Like, what if I don't end up pulling this off and the sharp ends up overtaking me after months of me ridiculing him? What happens if I don't actually pull this out?
Like, I think he's going to take his paw and put it on the back of your head or your head and rub your face in it. And he will deserve every moment of said face rubbing. Especially considering the ham-handed gloating that went on. I think this speaks to a lesson in life of just sometimes you gotta eat crow. Now, we're not there yet. Maybe you don't have to, right? Maybe it works out, and maybe you don't win. But with Schaefer the Sharp on your heels, you may have to pay the piper sometime soon. And that has to be a calculated risk that you take when you gloat, Tony Squares.
Guys, so sorry. I was late for the session. I hope I didn't miss anything. I was counting my money from last weekend.
Just in time, Schaefer the Sharp. Okay. Yes, Tony Squares was just telling me that you had quite a good gambling weekend.
He had a great week.
I did, Doctor. I appreciate that. You know, I was just trying to keep up with the doctor having a 10-point week, and obviously Squares having a 10-point week early in the season. But I'm not here to talk about that. I'm actually here to talk to you, Doctor. As you know, I'm a passionate fan of the Detroit Lions. And as you know, our history is what you would call a non-existent as far as successful. So we don't get a lot of opportunities to celebrate wins. And on Sunday, wouldn't you know, we were playing the then number one seed in the NFC, the Arizona Cardinals, who, as you know, on the show, I'm not really a big fan of Cliff Kingsbury or the Arizona Cardinals at all. And by God, the Detroit Lions not only won, they whipped their ass. And I was thinking, I'm excited about this. This is great. This is building for the future. But I get a lot of inbound complaints from my friends, from colleagues, from people that are passionate about the Lions saying, we're losing draft slots. We're losing that number one overall pick. And I don't even know how to talk to him, Doctor. Like, what am I supposed to respond to that?
Prep me
for what I'm about to say in the next segment.
I think what you say in the next segment is enjoy the opportunity now while it lasts to be mad about winning. Because after 20 years of winning and people still being mad, it gets old. It gets old after a while. Not the winning part, but the people being mad about the winning. The Detroit Lions are probably not going to be doing a whole lot of winning, at least in the next 2 or 3 years, until they really get their legs under them. So I would say enjoy the opportunity to be mad about a win while it lasts, because it probably won't last long, considering we're talking about the Detroit Lions. And that is our time for today. Coming up next, we are going to take a look back, at our season-long bets for the NFC win totals. We'll go back, take a look, recap what we did, see how we're doing. But first, a word from our sponsor.
West Coast Gamblers.
Tis the season of giving, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving you a Christmas present you won't want to re-gift. That was a great line read, Tony. Good job. New customers can bet just $5 on any of the 4 NFL teams playing on Christmas and win $150 in free bets. That's $5 to $150 if they're victorious. Why not win some green and put some extra jingle in your pocket? That's a terrible line, DraftKings. If the sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, your Christmas can still be merry. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars of total prizes with their first deposit. All you got to do, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code WCG. That's West Coast Gamblers WCG. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win on Christmas Day and win $150 in free bets if they're victorious. Promo code WCG this Christmas at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer, and restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details, and if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Again, the code WCG. And now for the NFC.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Well, thank you, DraftKings. Great read by myself, if I do say so myself. It's time to talk about the NFC season-long win totals that we placed beforehand, see where we're at right now, and see how the season's going to continue. Guys, congratulations to the Dallas Cowboys. They have pretty much wrapped up the NFC East. Their win total also has been wrapped up. It was 9 at the beginning of the year. They're already at 10. They look like they're going to win out. Dangles, you and I, again, I didn't notice we bet pretty much the same thing on most of these. You and I both have the New York Giants under 7. They would have to win out in order to push that number. Dangles, high five. They ain't winning out, baby. They are not winning out.
Not without Daniel Jones. Eagles, Bears, and Washington, 2 of those games on the road. I just do not see them winning all of those.
Joe Judge is about to join Urban Meyer on the unemployment line, let me tell you. Philadelphia, there's a game tonight, obviously, for Philadelphia and Washington. And Philly, if they win, could hit their over on win total. It was just 6.5 at the beginning of the year. It shows you how little people had hope for that Philadelphia team under Nick Sirianni. And Shea for the Sharp, you had Washington football team over 8.5. You also thought they were going to be winning this division, or at least in the hunt for it. Listen, they still have 4 games, including the game tonight. Obviously, COVID has ravaged that team. They're 6-7 right now playing Philly tonight. 8.5 is their win total. They'd have to go 3-1 in order to hit your over. Is there a snowflake's chance in hell if that happens?
Depends on the snowflake, but I'm not sticking my tongue out for it to land on it. I'll tell you that much.
Well, that is the NFC's. Listen, Dallas,
Washington football team, by the way, going to be without 7 assistant coaches in this game tonight. Yeah.
It's going to be tough. Dallas, by the way, all the division leaders either lost or played a close game like Green Bay, except for Dallas. Dallas came out and just walked right over Mike Glennon. By the way, Mike Glennon's trying real hard for the Nathan Peterman Award in our QB rankings this year. But
Mike Glennon has a lot more money than Nathan Peterman, so I don't think he'll ever really truly win that award.
He might get a statue from West Coast Gamblers this year, just saying. But the Dallas Cowboys this week showed that, hey, good teams win, great teams cover. Should we start believing in Dallas a little bit more with, like, Arizona not showing up, Tampa Bay not showing up, Green Bay letting people back? Again, Dallas is sneaky out there. They could end up with a 2-seed, 1-seed themselves.
No.
Yeah, I also lean no, because Mojo Mike, and because their defense can fall apart and let bad teams beat them like the Raiders or the Broncos.
I had that Brinks truck bet on the Cowboys on Sunday. Let me tell you what, that literally was not in the bag until the last play of the freaking game.
Yep.
Just holding your breath for that team. I have no idea what to expect from them. I just know the Giants sucked, and I was good to get that handicap right. The Giants suck. Real rocket science. That's sharp analysis. Well, call me Warren.
That's why people come to the show.
Let's move on to the NFC North. You know what team does not suck? Your NFC leading and the only team in the NFL to clinch a playoff spot and also clinch their division, the NFC North leading Green Bay Packers. 11 wins on the season. Congratulations, Drew. Congratulations, Dangles. You both had the over 10.5 on Green Bay, and it's already hit with 3 games remaining. Myself, the Green Bay homer over here, did not take the Green Bay over 10.5. I can't remember if I was worried about jinxing. I can't remember if I was thinking they were just going to be a 10-win team. No, no. Instead, I tried to outsmart myself and took Chicago over 7.5. with their loss to the Vikings on Monday night.
I forgot about that.
They have clinched the under. Matt Nagy, thank you for helping me up. You know what's bad? You know what's bad? Oh. I even have Minnesota under and then crossed it off and wrote Chicago over 7.5. Minnesota's number, by the way, was 9. They are a 7-win team right now. And Detroit was 4.5. They would need to win out in order to hit the over on that number. Very much still in play, that 4.5 with 2 wins on the season and 3 games remaining. Now, Normally, I'd say there's no chance that Detroit's going to win another game. They've been so terrible all year. When it keeps on raining, the levee's going to break. It's been my quote for the Detroit Lions all year. Two wins on the season. Shea for the Sharp, I know in your heart you do not want them to win another game. You want them to tank, correct?
Oh, yeah, Tony. You just got it right on the nose there, bud. Okay. Let me speak freely for a second, if I may.
Do you not usually? Like
it's your show.
No, you're right, Dangles. As I talked about in Dr. Dangles, I got a flurry of texts when the Lions were apparent they were going to beat the Cardinals, and oh my God, this is infuriating, this win, because they're losing the number one draft pick. There was 4 weeks in the season left. I think people are smart enough to understand that the NFL is a business, okay? These players get paid. These players get graded on every play every snap of every play they get a grade on. They're playing for contracts. They're playing for jobs for other teams. They are playing, it's football. It's 11-11. This isn't the NBA where you can not sign anybody on a salary cap, avoid the luxury tax, and run out a team that has a total salary cap less than LeBron James's yearly salary. This isn't Major League Baseball where you can, you know, sell your whole team all-star break and then bring up farm system players knowing they're not ready for the show and lose 7 out of 10 baseball games. This isn't like that. This is the NFL, and the talent margin is razor thin. And I just want to tell you guys, everyone that thinks the Lions went in there and, you know, beat the Cardinals with their A game, these are starting players for the Detroit Lions on Sunday. Dean Marlowe, Craig Reynolds, Jesse Lemoner, Brady Breeze, Curtis Bolden. You know what those guys have in common?
Madden-generated names.
None of them were drafted with the exception of sixth-rounder Brady Breeze. And before
that's a hell of a name.
That's a great name.
That's a hell of a name.
And before I get on this thing with draft, and someone told me, oh, if the Lions would have won one less game last year, they could have got third overall. They could have had Trey Lance right now. Oh, instead they got Penei Sewell, potentially an all-pro as a rookie.
Who's been a truck.
And a stalwart. He was going to be in the franchise for 10 years. So once and for all, NFL players do not tank. They will never tank. The only example we have of a blatant tanking, and the only time it would be applicable for any team to tank, is if a loss guarantees a draft slot, i.e. last year, Philadelphia at Washington. That was a clear evidence of them tanking because it guaranteed them a draft slot. But guess what? Guys, it's not where you draft, it's how you draft. Guess who was drafted after Paxton Lynch? One pick after. Kenny Clark. Guess who was drafted after Johnny Manziel? One pick after. Dee Ford. Oh, the third overall pick, Mr. Trey Lance, who, by the way, we have no idea in hell if he's going to be good or not. You know what other quarterback went through overall? Blake Bortles, Sam Darnold. How are they doing right now? Not good. I'm sick of this shit. You don't tank in the NFL. You play to win. You have a culture. I get it. Is it frustrating for fans? Oh yeah, we're gonna drop one. We're gonna drop one slot in the draft. You know, no. If you saw Dan Campbell's post game locker room speech, which I sent you guys,
yep.
That is a team that believes in one another. They know they're building something from the ground up. They know they have a long, long way to go. This isn't gonna be next year, probably the year after that. But they're building something, and they're remembering what it feels like to not only win but beat a contender. They beat a contender, the number one overall seed. That's my rant, I'm off.
Well, congratulations, Drew. You did that whole rant and also dropped a Danny Green famous. Would you play to win the game? That's an all-time.
I think that was
Herm.
That was Herman.
Herm
that was
Edwards.
Herm. That was Herm. 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 Yeah, Herm. That was
one,
Herm.
One of the great lines of all time. You play to win the game. Detroit played to win that game. I am so happy that they beat Arizona, and I'll tell you why in 1 second. But first, let's talk about the NFC South real fast. Dangles. You and I were the opposite on this terrible New Orleans team. You said they were going to get over 9 wins. I said they were going to get under 9 wins. They sit at 7 wins right now. Frankly, I couldn't tell you what they're going to do over the next 3 games. Both of our bets still very much in play. Drew, yours is as well. You have the Tampa Bay Brady Nears over 12 wins. They have 10 on the season. They'll need to win out to hit that number. Very good chance that they do. The other two teams... The awful Carolina Panthers, 7.5 wins was their total. They need to win out with Cam Newton to hit the over. Sorry, TJ, nope. That's not happening. And the Atlanta Falcons at 6-8. Their season-long win total at the start of the year for the 32nd-ranked DVOA team was 7.5. Another team that is two wins away from hitting their over somehow, someway. Again, give Arthur Smith some Coach of the Year credit because that team sucks, and they're still finding ways to win games. But shave for the sharp. Me and Dangles can't figure out New Orleans. New Orleans figures out Tampa Bay, Brady Nears every time they play them. You have two wins remaining to push, three wins remaining to hit your Tampa Bay over. You're already pretty much locking up Tampa Bay and Green Bay to win their divisions, a little parlay you played. How do you feel about Tampa's season-long win total here?
I text you guys this, but with Godwin out for the year, that's not a small loss. And no. I love how the Bucks said when AB came into town, screw up once, you're gone. Okay, screw up twice. AB will be back. That is an integral part of that team success moving forward. So I like their future.
He tweeted out, Antonio Brown tweeted out today, put some respect on my name. Y'all be wildin'. Hey, listen, I guess we got to put respect on his name, right, Dangles?
Something like that, I guess. I don't know. or respect on his chef's name or something like that. I don't fucking know. I don't understand it either, how he still has a job. If the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are, you know, like 4-10 right now, Antonio Brown is a cab driver.
I don't know about cab driver. I'm sure he'd find like a place in Seattle or whatever. But yeah, Antonio Brown, interesting character, and now a necessary part of this Tampa Bay team. Like, he's going to be because Mike Evans is also out for a while, week to week, with a hamstring injury. Leonard Fournette's going to be out for a little while. Gronkowski obviously isn't the Gronkowski of old. They need Antonio Brown. Oh, yeah. He is a necessary facet of this team.
By the way, Bruce Arians' response to what's changed. Well, the history has changed since that statement. A lot of things went on last year that I was very proud of him, and I made a decision that was best for our football team. End quote. Good for you, Bruce.
Hey, he's a football coach. He's the best football player available. Yeah. It doesn't matter how many bad things he's done.
I mean, look, with Chris Godwin, but here's the thing. What do we have to trust him on that it's not going to happen again? And what if
it's absolutely going to happen again?
And what if that happens? I don't know. Wild card weekend, divisional weekend,
three times
again.
AB three times.
Right?
You're
like,
gone.
Are we just going to go three? Like, you know, because
makes sense. Three is such a nice number.
This sets a precedent for the rest of the team. Right? Obviously, AB can get away with some stuff because he's good. But like, I don't know. If I were the players, I'd be like, oh, okay, coach is letting AB walk all over him.
They don't care. They're trying to win as many games as possible because they're a bunch of older vets. If it was a youthful team, sure. But this team understands you only got so many years of Tom Brady. AB, come on.
Need
a vax card? I got you, AB. Get in the game. It's going to be an interesting situation. Although Antonio Brown has come out and said, I will show you video of myself getting vaccinated to prove to you that I'm vaccinated. Doesn't change the fact that he presented a fake vax card at first, but he's got video now. So check out Pornhub or something.
That definitely was not rendered like 10 hours ago.
He's got video now. It's a needle going into his arm. Definitely a vaccine. Absolutely a vaccine. Let's move on to the NFC West.
I don't want to talk about this division.
The NFC West is insane.
I made a poor choice.
I was going to say, Dangles, but the NFC West was insane. All of these teams, it was 10.5, 10.5, 10, and 8.5 with the win totals. They predicted that this division would be really good, and guess what? If the season ended today, three of these teams would be in the playoffs, although not the one that Dangles took the over on. Dangles had over Seattle 10 wins. And listen, Dangles, I'd be ready to lambaste you. You've lost that bet, but it was not the worst bet made on this show because Drew and I both took Arizona under 8.5 wins. And listen, they went 9-1, I think, or 9-2 at least. We lost that early. But
that wasn't even a tease. It wasn't a big deal.
The other two were L.A. Rams 10.5, San Fran 10.5. Both of those are still available to hit the over if those two teams win out, and San Fran does look hot. But let's talk about Arizona for a second. We've already talked about Detroit and their great win over Arizona, but Arizona's now lost a few here, and they've lost a few to teams, and they've been in close contest with teams that they shouldn't have been in close contest with. I jumped on Arizona under 12.5 midseason, and that was before Colt McCoy went 2-1 and ruined it for me, I thought. But now Detroit giving me life once more. Arizona has Indy. Arizona has Dallas. Arizona has Seattle. Could Arizona fall out of this divisional lead?
They absolutely could. Sure, they could. Absolutely. Yeah.
Did you watch the game on Sunday?
It was terrible. I mean,
that was unbelievable. And you just saw, you just heard the laundry list of players that took him down. Undrafted free agents. And again, this game wasn't, this game was actually, it was 3-12. It wasn't even that close, dude.
No.
It wasn't even that close. Josh Reynolds looks like the best receiver in the league against these Cardinals, you know? Jared Goff,
then what
God
changed?
Bless him, looks
what
like
changed?
The Super Bowl
this
quarterback.
This is a team that was 7-0, and now they're 10-4 and falling.
Listen.
Like, it's not huge with injuries. They've missed some players, yeah, but it's not huge.
Well, I mean, they've also won three games.
They were
games.
Asleep at the wheel on
they've
Sunday,
also won
sure.
three games in Glendale this year so far compared to a 7-1
yeah.
road record. They're not playing good football at home, and that's not a good prescription going into the playoffs when you are vying to be the number one seed and hanging on to home field advantage going into the playoffs. You've got
be
the
Lambeau this year.
You've got Bengals. The – I said yeah. vying for. I said vying for. I said vying for. You got DeAndre Hopkins
it's
hurt, obviously. You got DeAndre Hopkins hurt, obviously. But I mean, I really do think this last weekend is got to be a gut check for them. I think this team probably has first round exit written all over it, divisional week exit written all over it. I don't think they have the longevity to make it happen in the playoffs. But I think this last week was, if we are going to do anything in the playoffs, we can't let this happen again. And it will make them realize that they are not invincible, if that's what they were thinking going into this whole thing, because they did not look like a team that should be in the conversation with the top teams in the NFC this past weekend.
I texted you guys this during that awful and hilarious Monday Night Football game between Minnesota and Chicago. But to you, as we end this show here, what is your least favorite wild card matchup that we're going to get? My opinion, it's Arizona versus Minnesota. I think both of those teams are trending down right now, and I wouldn't want to watch that game, even though there's so many stars on the field. Is there any wild card matchup, likely matchup, that you have no interest in watching?
So it can be any team in contention,
yeah,
correct?
Pretty much. I mean, it's unlikely Miami's going to get there, but
Cleveland, Miami. I would rather watch the 7 hours of the Beatles documentary again. And that was tough to finish, let me tell you. I like the Beatles. Holy fuck.
That was amazing.
Make sure.
What are you talking about?
Peter, just shave it off by about 3 hours, bro. Good God. Jesus Christ. What did Yoko Ono ever do to anything? Can
she
we have her on the pod? Can we get Yoko?
She yelled quite
yeah,
a bit.
Yeah, she's very attractive when she says, she's a very attractive screamer. She
yelled
shit.
A lot. And then Paul McCartney's daughter's watching her, and then her daughter starts yelling, hey, you can do what Yoko does. You're 40 years younger than her. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, Dangles, what's your least favorite wild card matchup?
Oh, man.
Great
I
review
don't know.
For the West Coast Gamblers on the Beatles
yeah,
documentary.
A quick 60-second media review there. Oh, God. Like, Vikings-Washington would be just a terrible Ooh. Wild card matchup if that happened to shake out. Or even, like, Washington-Philly. That could be pretty gnarly.
That was an impossible
wild card matchup. Tonight. We're gonna see that tonight, Dangles.
I guess we are. We are going to see that tonight.
Christmas comes early.
That is very true.
That is it.
Christmas comes early.
For this greatly, fantastically produced version of the West Coast Gamblers. So happy that we did it today. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. We'll be back on Thursday with our full slate of gambles and gravestones. Cannot wait for that. I need to get back on this horse because there is a tie at the top between the square and the sharp. I end this podcast with another half rhyme. I'll take it. But for Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, for Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookson, my name is Tony Cavallo. We are the West Coast Gamblers, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network and the only gambling show that makes you money. And as always, thank you for listening.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not, it's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.